In the book of Psalms this morning, chapter number 65. Psalms chapter number 65. We'll read the first two verses of that chapter. About the middle of your Bible there. When you found Psalm 65, if you would join me in standing out of the honor of God's Word, I'll read verse number 1 if you will join me on reading verse number 2 of Psalm chapter number 65. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we've been thankful and glad to be a part of everything that has taken place so far this morning. The music and the singing and the offering and the fellowship. But Lord, this is why we've come, to hear your word preached. And I ask, Lord, that you would please speak to our hearts through your word. I ask that you help us to be attentive, have an open heart to what your word, what you have for us in your word this morning. We ask that you bless the special now. Amen.
When life's burdens get so heavy and it seems I'm all alone, I cast my care on Jesus and come boldly to His throne. I find His grace sufficient when His promises I heed. For His very life He sacrificed, and He lives to intercede. He is the Lord of lords, and when He speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, "Peace, be still," then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace. I will seek for souls in darkness, Calvary's love with them to share. Empowered by God's Spirit, I will follow anywhere. For I know whatever befall me, my Lord is in control. And as my mind is stayed on Him, perfect peace He gives my soul. He gives me peace, He is the Lord of lords. And when He speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, "Peace, be still," then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace. I'm at rest, I'm in peace, in perfect peace. I'm at rest in perfect peace.
Appreciate it so very much. That's wonderful. All right. In our text today, I'm going to be speaking specifically from verse number 2 there. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And I want to speak on this subject today, overcoming hurdles to prayer. Overcoming hurdles to prayer. Let's ask God to bless us in His Word this morning. Our Father, we thank You so much for the good song that really set the pace for the entire message. And I had no idea they were going to sing that song, God, but You set it all up, and it's wonderful to see Your hand at work. And ask You, Lord, we're a little bit later than normal getting to the preaching time. Help me to be concise and say exactly what You want said in these minutes that we'll spend together. And Lord, maybe for some they will pass slowly, but for many of us they will pass very quickly. So help us to pay attention and hear, and I pray our hearts are ready right now to hear from your Spirit that we might move in our midst. And we'll be careful to thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. An issue of great social or moral importance comes along often in our country. And when it does, we are encouraged to write or call our elected officials, either in Washington, D.C. or down in Springfield. And, you know, we're encouraged to voice our concern and to try to persuade them on a certain issue to vote for or against a particular bill. And here's what you need to know about your constituents and so forth, so on. And to be honest with you, reality is it's tough to get people to call. It's tough to get people to write. And I think one reason is there's this overwhelming sense that, you know, my phone call, my letter is not going to do any good. I will never get to talk to the elected official. My letter's going to get passed along through different aides and end up in the trash can. And some aide, I'm going to talk to some aide on the telephone who's going to take my number and say that he's going to pass my concern on to Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. And, you know, we just don't have a lot of confidence that anything is going to take place with that phone call. There's that underlying belief that this is not going to do any good that hinders us from writing the letter or making the call. Now, that mentality, I'm not sure that's a true mentality. And I think it's a good mentality, but I think it's realism. I think it's realistic. I think it's a realistic mentality that, you know, we just have to overcome the pessimism to write or call an elected official to believe that it's going to do some good. But I want to tell you this morning, David did not have that opinion about contacting God when he wrote this psalm. He didn't have that opinion at all. And in verse number 2, he said, O thou that hearest prayer. O thou that hearest prayer. Now, you know, we would feel intimidated or embarrassed to walk up to an elected official, even after we've called and say something like, hey, did you get my message? I called and I left you a voicemail, or I wrote you a letter. Did you get my message? You know, because we think we would not dare do that hardly, because we believe that they would look at us and say, you know, I'm sorry, but who are you? I don't know who you are. And I get dozens, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of contacts. And there's no way that I can personally be acquainted with all of those contacts. And that's part of the hurdle to really participate and be involved in the political process. But David had no qualms. He had no such opinion about God. David believed with all of his heart that God hears prayer. O thou that hearest prayer. Why don't God's people pray? I'm sure there is more than one reason, but I'm also sure that one of the reasons that we don't pray, sometimes it's kind of like it's the opinion we have about the elected officials. I just don't think it's going to get through. I just don't think He hears us. We treat God as if He were human. As if He were human. You know, some situation comes up in my life, in your life, and some problem, maybe with a product or an appliance or insurance or something, and you know, some kind of trouble, and we make a call, we make a contact, and nothing happens, and we're kind of aggravated and frustrated, and then, you know, at lunch or at work or maybe out to eat with somebody, we start telling our friends about this situation and this problem, you know, that we're having, and our friend says, well, why don't you just contact so-and-so? Why don't you call such and such? And our response is, I tried that. I got nowhere. That didn't work. We make a big mistake of putting God in the same box that we put humans in. It may not work with some corporation. It may not work with some Fortune 500 company. My friend, you cannot take that mentality, that attitude toward talking to God in prayer. Cannot take that attitude. You know, I don't want to talk about this one thing ad nauseum, because everybody here has issues in their lives that are heavy to you, and burdensome, but so many have asked, and I think that, you know, you understand that. Ashley, I didn't understand this physical condition. I've learned a lot more about it since she got it. High-risk pregnancy, and she was hospitalized. And Ben pays for medevac insurance. It's expensive. I think most missionaries in third world countries pay for it. It's not medical insurance. It's different. It's evacuation insurance in case there's a problem physically, in case your life is in danger with a terrorist situation or whatever. And they have this insurance. Well, he contacted the insurance company not once but twice. He was told unequivocally, no, you don't meet the criteria, you don't meet the qualifications. When your wife has the baby, if there's a problem, you call us and we will come. But it does not. And he tried to explain the situation to them about the hospital is not prepared for a preemie. The hospital is not prepared for hemorrhaging after the C-section when my wife gives birth, because that's how it's going to have to happen. And, you know, you call us if there's a problem and we'll get there. And, you know, and so we were resigned. I remember the day he called and said, Dad, we're having the baby here. I remember how disappointed my wife was. She just sat down in the chair and she was just crushed by it. And I said, well, you know what, honey, it's what's going to happen. So we had made, you know, all plans, airline tickets purchased and everything. And Ben got very frustrated with the hospital in these last 2.5 weeks. They kept wanting to send her home. They said if she stays here, she's going to get sick. That's what they said. They said if she stays here, she's going to get infection. They had a survey on the wall that was done by some company that had to be posted. And it measured different things about the hospital from 0 to 3, 0 being 0 and 3 being good. And one was cleanliness of the operating room, and it was a 0. And there was cockroaches in the hospital. Now, cockroaches in a third world country, it's normal in their house, lizards, chameleons, cockroaches, but in the hospital. And they kept wanting to send her home. Well, we're going to have to move her out of the room and disinfect the room. Why don't you come get her? It took my wife and Ben 1 hour and 10 minutes to get to the hospital. If she's at home and she starts hemorrhaging, they have between 15 and 30 minutes to get there. It won't happen. So he's very discouraged, more so with the hospital. My wife arrived there on 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She got through customs and got to the house. And they called and said that she's okay, she's here. And I saw a very tired woman and a very happy son. That's what I saw on Thursday afternoon. And they went to bed. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, Madagascar time. And when they woke up in the morning, Ben checked his email, and there was an email from the insurance company. And they basically said, your wife is at great risk. This could happen, this could happen, this could happen. And we are ready to bring an ICU plane, fully staffed with a surgical team, to evacuate her out. I said, son, what happened? He said, I have no idea. So, about 2 o'clock this morning, our time, they got her out. And they took her to South Africa. When the medevac plane landed, and the people went into the airport, the people that work in the Malagasy airport customs were drunk. And they wouldn't let them in. This is the medevac people. They had to call the embassy and get the embassy behind letting them get into the country. It's just crazy. But they're in South Africa, and she made the flight okay, and they're going to get good care there. I told Brother Woodward this morning. He said, who put pressure on the insurance company? God did. Nobody called. We had given it up. But so many people have prayed. And what the insurance company wouldn't hear, God heard. God heard. O thou that hearest prayer. Now, this has created some other situations. My wife is in Madagascar by herself. So, with three kids. And she's got Scotty and Darlene Rackley. It's not like she's isolated in the bush. But she might be safer in the bush than she is in the capital city. And I don't know. I had plans to go March 11th. Everything is, I don't know when I'm going. I could go tomorrow. I could go maybe Wednesday. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I may or may not be here next Sunday. If I'm not, I'm not in Hawaii playing, okay? I'm not somewhere having fun in the sun. And I appreciate your continued prayers. And I'm not saying stop praying for Ashley. This is still a very high-risk pregnancy. And before, during, and after delivery. But so anyway, I want to help us get over the hurdle this morning of the mentality that God won't hear us when we pray. Because we have personal needs that require God's help. We have national problems that require God's assistance. We have church-wide prayer this Friday and Saturday, where for hopefully 24 hours as a church body, we're going to be before the throne of God, asking God for revival. And, you know, we've got to believe, folks, that God will hear us. You've got to believe that. In Mark chapter 11 and verse number 24, this is what Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Charles Spurgeon said, "What latitude is here given us in prayer? How slow we are to use the power thus entrusted to us." And I can tell you, as one who doesn't stand here today, as a model of strong faith in a prayer-hearing God, my faith has at times been very weak throughout this whole process and given to things that were opposite of what we had asked God for. And folks, you know, God hears us when we pray. O thou that hearest prayer. Now, let me give you some reasons why we shouldn't be caught in unbelief, as I find them in this passage here. Reasons why we shouldn't be caught in unbelief. First of all, I want you to see that God is a personal God. God is a personal God. And David has this figured out. You know what I did? I didn't even write down the right psalm number in the psalm here. Maybe I did. My mind has been so distracted. Yeah, I did. Okay, I'm sorry. I got the right one down. But he is a personal God. I want you to see the personal pronouns that are used in this chapter about God. You see in verse number 1, the pronouns thee and thee. The pronoun thee is used twice. Let me just quickly, I'm short on time. In verse 2, you got thou and thee. Verse 3, you got thee or thou. In verse 4, you've got thou or thee, thy. Let's just do it this way. You got a ton of these and thous and thys in here. A ton. Listen, 24 personal pronouns in 13 verses. 24 personal pronouns in 13 verses. What are you saying, Brother Angel? I'm saying that David had this thing figured out, that God is a personal God. Thee, thou, thy. They are personal pronouns. These are words that speak of a personal being, not an inanimate, lifeless object. God is personal, which means we have the attention of a God who is personal. My relationship with you is personal, and your relationship with me is personal. Those of us that attend church here regularly, we know each other, okay? We come to church together. We have a personal relationship. You know, my relationship, your relationship with Governor Rauner is impersonal. Unless somebody here knows him personally. Darren, do you know Governor Rauner? Okay. No. Okay. We are all citizens of the state of which he is the governor, right? But our relationship with him is impersonal. Getting his attention would be quite difficult to do because of an impersonal relationship. But when it comes to our God, we are not hindered by having an impersonal relationship to jump over. We've got a personal relationship with God. You know, God never says to us, "I'm sorry. I don't know your name. And I get dozens and hundreds and thousands of contacts a day, and it's just impossible for me to personally know each one of those. He never says that. In fact, he says just the opposite. He says, I know you. I know your name. And I get dozens and hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of contacts a day. And I have time for yours. God's a personal God. He's a personal God. And David had this figured out. He wasn't talking to some inanimate object or being. He was talking to the God of heaven, yet a very personal God, a God with whom he had a very personal relationship. Let me say number two this morning, overcoming the hurdles to prayer. First of all, God is a personal God. Remember that, friend, the next time you need to have God hear you. Number two, I want you to see this, that hearing prayer is who God is. That's who God is. Look at the wording of verse number 2. O thou that hearest prayer. David didn't say, dear God. David didn't say, dear Heavenly Father. He said, O thou that hearest prayer. And it was understood that he was talking about the God of heaven. O thou that hearest prayer. You see, this is not only what he does. It is who he is. He is the God that hears prayer. That's part of his name. What other God hears prayer? Or we could say it this way. Who is the baseball player that hit home runs? Well, you could answer Babe Ruth. You could answer Hank Aaron. You could answer Willie Mays. I wouldn't count Sosa and McGuire and Bonds and all those steroided people. Oh, I'd count those old boys that hit it with a wooden bat with no cork in it. And in some cases, no gloves. Whack! But there's more than one. Who is the general who won a war? Well, George Washington. Dwight Eisenhower, Douglas MacArthur, and on we could go. Who is the businessman who helped build America? Cornelius Vanderbilt, John D. Rockefeller, and Andrew Carnegie, and we could go on and on. Who is the preacher who perpetrated revival through his ministry? We could talk about Jonathan Edwards and Charles Finley and George Whitfield, and we could go on and on. Who is the God who hears prayer? There's only one name. That is our God. There's none other that stands with Him. There's no other name that can be tagged along with His name. He is. He is. That's not just what He does. He is the God that hears prayer. And like I said, you know, we can stand and listen to Robert Mickey Sunday morning and Sunday night and give story after story after story of God answering prayer there in Nakuru, Kenya during all that ministry and that uprising. But somehow we distance ourselves from the reality that God hears us. But He does. He hears us. It is who He is. Listen to what the psalmist said in these scriptures. Don't turn to them. And so all of these are in the book of Psalms, so I can save a word here. In chapter 3, verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me. In 6:8, the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. 6:9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. 10:17, Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. 18:6, in my distress I called upon the Lord. He heard my voice. 28:6, blessed be the Lord because He hath heard me. 34:4, I sought the Lord and He heard me. 34:6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Psalm 40 in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry. 116:1, I loved the Lord because He hath heard my voice. Psalm 121, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord and He heard me. People, He is the God who hears prayer. That's who He is. Some of you need to jump the hurdle this morning. You need to jump the hurdle. You're facing this massive thing. I get the privilege of standing up here and talking about mine from time to time. But I know you carry them. I know what some of them are. The massive things. And if we're not careful, we'll get to the place where we treat God like a politician. It won't do any good. It won't get to Him, but He is the God that hears prayer. That's His identification. So don't give up. Jump that hurdle. Overcome that hurdle to prayer this morning. God is a personal God. Number two, hearing prayer is who God is. And let me say this morning to help you, help us all jump the hurdle in this matter of prayer. All flesh is invited to pray. Now look at verse number 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Boy, it's interesting here that the word flesh is used in this verse. That's very interesting to me. You know why? Because I'm convinced some people don't pray because they believe that God won't hear them because they're just not good enough. Just not good enough. Can I ask you a question? Who is good enough? There's only one. And His name is Jesus Christ. And you know how we're told to pray? In His name. In His name. If you and I waited to pray till we were good enough, forget it. Boy, Brother Angel, you must have had a really holy week. I've had a very unholy week. In some cases. And I don't mean, I'm not up here saying I went to the red light district or anything like that. I didn't get drunk. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, comparatively speaking, who can walk around here and talk about having a holy week? Now, the Catholics did. I saw them. I went to the hospital and the black stuff on their foreheads. What is that? I forgot about Ash Wednesday. But anyway, we wait till we're holy enough, who's going to pray? We wait till we're good enough. That's why in this great plan of God, He set it up for you and I to come through the One who is the only one worthy, the only one good enough, holy enough for us to approach God is through Jesus Christ. And that's how God set it up. Now, wait. It is true that in the next chapter, the psalmist did say, the very next chapter, Psalm 66, he wrote this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, I can't pray. Because, look, I regard iniquity in my heart. You know what regard means, friend? Regard means to love and esteem. We might say about somebody, I hold them in what? High what? Regard. Right? And there's nothing wrong with that. There are people that I hold in high regard. And you might be surprised at who they are. High regard. That's not what... If you've got sin that you hold in high regard, you love it. You crave it. Then you've got a problem. But if you're a normal Christian, and if you're not praying because, you know, you're struggling, you're the one God wants to pray. If you got a besetting sin and I'm not going to pray because if you're weighted down by some besetting temper or you're the one prayer is for. Prayer is not for the sinless. Prayer is for human beings who struggle and have an old Adamic nature that is just always pulling us down. And God says, I'll help you if you'll just come to me through the merit of my Son. I can answer. I'll tell you what. If nothing else, the prayer of confession and humbling, yourself, asking God for mercy is a good place to start. If you feel you're not good enough to pray, get on your face and ask God for help. Say, God, do you ever do that? Sometimes that's how I start my prayer. I am not worthy. Confess. You know, it's an amazing thing. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, dead in trespasses and sins. What's that mean? Lost. Unsaved. When we were unsaved, we had enough faith that God would hear us that we prayed, Lord, save me. And God heard us. And God saved us. And now, for some strange reason, we've got this huge hurdle that we have to live this impeccable. And folks, don't go the other direction with this. I am for holy living. And I am for living righteous. And I've said a lot about that. But I'm talking this morning about a common problem. We don't pray because we don't feel we're good enough for God to hear us. And that book says, unto thee shall all flesh come. If you are human, you can pray. And God will hear you. You say, well, why did God wait 2.5 weeks and all that took place in those 2.5 weeks and all those airline tickets were bought and schedules were made? And folks, I don't have any answer. That's not mine to worry about. All I can say is, He hears. He hears. If you're not saved, if you don't know for sure that when you die you're going to go to heaven, then the first prayer that ought to be coming out of your mouth, in fact, the only prayer that God hears from an unsaved person is, God, save me, please. Boy, you talk about a prayer that has great answer. But if you're already saved here this morning, friend, and you're facing these mental hurdles that's keeping you from some kind of a prayer life with God, let me encourage you today, based on the truth of what this man, the Scripture says, what David's pen put in this book through the Spirit of God. God is a personal God. Hearing prayer is who God is. That's who He is. And all flesh is invited to pray. All flesh. That work for you? All flesh is invited to pray. Jump the hurdle and start praying again. Jump the hurdle and start praying again. Because thou that hearest prayer, who God is. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our Father, we bow before You again. And I'm asking, dear God, that Your Spirit would work in our hearts today. Lord, call us back to that relationship with You in prayer that some of us have forsaken, put aside. I pray that You'll do a good work in our hearts this morning. Pray, God, that You will draw people to Yourself through the truth of Your Word, that Your Spirit might do a good work in many, many hearts this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around for a moment here. I wonder who would say, Pastor Angel, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. You know, I'm not talking about some little emotional thing. Yes, it was an emotional story maybe. And I'm a little emotional right now and I can't help it. That's just how it is. But God spoke to my heart. Spoke to my heart in this message about overcoming hurdles to prayer. And I want to acknowledge that humbly before God this morning. I'm thankful God was kind enough to speak to me. I'm not ashamed of acknowledging that fact by lifting my hand. If that's you this morning, would you put your hand in the air wherever you're sitting? Downstairs, balcony, doesn't matter. Side to side, front to back. Thank you. Let me take your hand down. Now, is there anybody here this morning that would say, Pastor, I am not sure that I am saved? You mentioned about the prayer of salvation, and the first prayer that God hears is the prayer of somebody asking to be saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved, that I'm on my way to heaven. And I want to ask you, Pastor, when you close, just to ask God to speak to my heart. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call your name or have you stand by yourself. You'll stand with the rest of us in just a minute. But, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today, would you slip your hand up front to back, side to side? I am not 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Downstairs, upstairs, member or visitor, anybody. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Nobody is looking. Thank you. Now, is there anybody who will say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved in deep water. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Just slip your hand up. You've yet to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. All right. If you've been visiting the church, you know this is the place that God wants you to join. You've talked to one of us on staff about it. It's a great time. Or if you'd like to join, you know this is the place God wants you to be. Come set up a time. We'll talk to you about membership this week, even if that's necessary. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that we'll have free course in our hearts. I pray it won't be stifled, Lord, through unconcern or neglect, but that, Lord, the seed of your word would fall on good ground and bring forth fruit in somebody's heart today in a specific manner. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the ladies to play a song of invitation while we wait quietly. Would you come this morning? You raised your hand. This is the time to acknowledge that God spoke to you and acknowledge that this morning. If He was kind enough to speak to you, you want to be kind enough to speak back to Him. What did you give up on? What have you stopped praying for? God is a personal God. Hearing prayer is who God is. And all flesh is invited to come. Now, if something needs to be fixed, get it fixed. Get it cared for. But if you're a normal Christian who's just trying to live for God, going along through life, God wants you to come to Him in prayer. While we wait this morning, come say a word to the Lord. Thank Him for speaking to your heart. Take a minute here.